to Ephesians chapter 1. Begin our reading in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. The title of my message is from verse 7, The Richness of Forgiving Grace. Every time I read or quote or meditate upon this passage of Scripture, my heart overflows with love and gratitude and joy. To be a partaker of God's electing love, to have Jesus Christ, the second person of the Sacred Trinity, demonstrate that love by dying in my place and in my stead, and to know that my sins are fully and freely forgiven through His blood, through His sacrifice. These are themes so wonderful that I stand amazed that God would open up His treasury of grace and pour it out on me. Blessed with all spiritual blessings, chosen before the foundation of the world, predestinated according to His good pleasure of His will, accepted in the Beloved, redeemed by His blood, what richness there is in God's amazing grace. But I think one of the sweetest phrases in this entire passage is found in verse 7, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Is there anything more wonderful in all the world than to experience the love of God through the riches of His forgiving grace? I pray this morning that you've been touched. That God in His power has brought you to a place of experiencing what it is to be forgiven of your sins and to know Jesus Christ. My first point is the marvel of forgiving grace. Think for a moment, who inspired this passage of Scripture? When we consider who God is, who the author of this passage of Scripture is, the sovereign of this universe, the Most High God, the one who has all power in heaven and in earth, the Holy One, the Just One, the one who loves righteousness and hates sin, the most important person in all the universe, has looked upon me and has freely granted me forgiveness through His Son. And He knows me, He knows what's in me better than I do. You know, it's a marvelous thing to be forgiven by a friend or by a loved one whom we've offended. Isn't it wonderful when you reconcile with someone and you feel that forgiveness and they tell you that they forgive you, or you do that with them? How much more marvelous is it to be forgiven by the Almighty, the one who knows our motives, our thoughts, the deeds of our heart, every word that we've spoken. He knows everything about us, and yet in Christ, He forgives us. We should marvel at God's forgiving grace when we consider what we are. We are sinners by birth. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, for that death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Not only do we have a nature of sin, but we choose to sin. We are bent toward our depraved ways, and we sin against God. We practice sin. When God found us, we were unlovely, unholy, rebels against His law, breakers and transgressors of His truth, unprofitable, ungodly, immoral. When we consider what we have done in our lives to stir up the wrath of God against us. You think about the Ten Commandments, the moral law of God. How many times have you worshipped other gods? How many times have you bowed down to things that displease God? How many times have you dishonored His name, forsaken His day, dishonored your parents? How many times have you lied and stole and been unthankful? How many times with the thoughts of your heart have you done violence to people, with your tongue have slain them? How many times have you had adulterous thoughts in your mind and lust of the flesh? How many times have you desired things that you ought not? Just in the law of God. We have a catalog of sins. I think about what I am. I don't even know the multitude of all the sins that I've committed. Can you count them? Honestly? The Bible says in Romans 2:5, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." God would have, He'd be perfectly just to damn me 1,000 times for my sins. We ought to marvel at God's forgiving grace when we consider what we deserve. I deserve what's recorded in Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Soon, I'll be approaching 39 years since the Lord graced me with forgiveness. I marvel at it every day, sometimes more than others. It's something that ought to humble us down when we consider what we are. And folks, it's good for you to take a look at yourself in light of God's holiness and realize the truth, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that you can fully appreciate how much grace has been given to you. I think back before I was saved, and in my mad rush to sin, God kept me alive when I should have died. And He brought me to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Which brings me to the second point, the manner of forgiving grace. As you read Ephesians chapter 1, you'll notice that there's nothing in there about what you do. Nothing in there about any works, any inherent goodness, any reformation, any improvement. No, the themes are, this is what God has done for you. Unworthy as you are, this is what He's done. He's opened up the riches, the treasury of His grace. You see, the manner of forgiving grace, we're not forgiven because of who we are or what we've done. Forgiveness with God is not earned. It's not merited by men. We aren't forgiven based on our religion or our good works or how many prayers we've prayed or how many confessions we've made. No, it all flows from one eternal source, God's amazing grace. It is all of God's free grace. Forgiveness is bound up in the loving favor of a merciful God who freely bestows it upon unworthy sinners. Grace. Unmerited favor. Even though my sins mounted to the heavens, and justice demanded my eternal damnation, the love of Christ, the blood of God's dear Son, it was as if His blood, His work, His death, His burial, His resurrection shouted to the mountain of my sins, "Be removed! Grace! Grace has removed them all." That's what Jesus Christ did for me. His love made it so that now I am part of verse 6 to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Before, I was rejected, and rightly so. I was by nature a child of wrath, even as others. I was in my sins. I was undone. I was a rebel. But the blood of Jesus Christ interposed. His finished work interceded on my behalf, and now one who was an outcast is now been reconciled. One who was afar off has now been drawn nigh by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. One who was rejected is now accepted in the Beloved. Powerful, man. The way in which my forgiveness was obtained cost my Savior His own life. Cost Him His obedience, His merits, His righteousness. You see, I'm forgiven based on His perfect sacrifice. He did something for me that I could not do for myself. He fulfilled the law that I had broken. And He not only fulfilled it in perfect and complete obedience, but He went beyond that obedience and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He didn't just fulfill the law, He also suffered the penalty that the law required for all who will believe on Him. How amazing is that? How marvelous is that, that Jesus Christ on the cross took my sins, every sin Tom Ross would ever commit, and they were all future when He died. He took all of my sins and all the penalty, and He put it all away. And based on His work, I'm forgiven. And I can't even begin to even fathom how much emotional, physical, spiritual suffering that our Lord went through just for my sins. But you think about He saves people out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue. People all around the world are going to be redeemed. Not all of the world, no. I said all around the world. I don't know how many we have here this morning, but I'm looking out. You're sinners. Right along with me. You may not have as many as I have, but there's plenty of sins in this auditorium today if you cataloged them all. And Jesus Christ had to die for each and every one of them. He had to suffer the penalty. He had to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He had to cry out, I thirst. Do you ever think about that? What Jesus suffered so that you could be saved. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Jesus, when He was on the cross, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even on the cross, He was concerned with forgiveness of those who had wronged Him and sinned against Him. So if you're forgiven today, it's all because of Jesus. It's all because God is pleased with His finished work. And then I want to consider the magnificence of forgiving grace. Faith in the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ is what reconciles a guilty sinner to a holy God. God's forgiveness is so powerful that it takes away His wrath and makes enemies friends. Daniel 9:24 is a prophecy regarding the work of Christ to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness. Ephesians 2 and verse 16 says, "And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." Sins are put away. Hebrews 9:26, "But now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." I'm going to tell you something, folks. Baptism can't do that. Church membership can't do that. They can't put away sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. And God help the preachers who are preaching a bloodless work salvation. It's all based on human merit. That's the foundational idea of Islam. You're not saved by anything you do. God's forgiving grace is so magnificent that the worst sort of sinners, guilty of the basest of crimes, can be forgiven, can be restored. Have you ever studied the life of one of the kings in the Old Testament? His name was Manasseh. He was an idolater. He offered his own children as sacrifices, and yet God changed his heart. God saved him and forgave him. The woman at the well who was an adulteress, forgiven of all her sins. How about the woman taken in adultery? We'll be studying that next Sunday night, God willing, in our study of John. Jesus Christ personally forgave her of her sins. The thief on the cross. What did he do to earn forgiveness? What works did he do? He was up on the cross. There was nothing he could do except plead for mercy. When God gave him grace to recognize who was next to him, who was dying in his place. This is the magnificence of grace. I've seen God save some of the worst sinners. How about a guy that hated Christians so much that he stood there while a bunch of Jews were picking up big old rocks and throwing them at Stephen, one of the deacons of the First Baptist Church who was preaching. He stood there as men laid their outer garments down so that they could stretch a lot better and throw with greater ferocity those rocks. He watched as Stephen died. And then after that, he got letters of authority. He was going to go as far as Damascus. He was going to go down and find any Christian that he could who had named the name of Christ, and he was going to imprison them. He was going to see to it that they would even die. He blasphemed the name of Christ. You know who that is? Saul of Tarsus, otherwise known as Paul the Apostle. And he himself tells you, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus is come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." He admits he was before a blasphemer and a murderer. You say, "Well, he don't deserve to be saved." You are exactly right. Now you're getting it. I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to be forgiven. How about the demoniac of Gadara? You talk about a wicked man. Everybody was scared of him. And the Lord Jesus came into his life. And this guy that had formerly run around naked, cutting himself and screaming among the tombs, when the Lord saved him and the townspeople came around, they saw him fully clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. He had experienced forgiveness. This is why when I talk to people, I never say there's no hope for somebody like that. Because I know that's probably what was said of me. But the power of God can change the worst of sinners. And they can experience forgiveness and grace and peace through faith in His blood. You see, the magnificence of God's forgiving grace enables us to fellowship with Him. That's what Ephesians 2, it's a crescendo that builds up to that. What the blood of Christ and His finished work, what the grace of God does, we're able now, since we're reconciled to God, we can have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We can go directly to the throne of God, directly into the presence of God, because His blood has washed us clean. God's grace is what's going to take us all the way to glory. Ephesians 2:7 says that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. In the ages to come. I like to think about this. When one day, everybody who's ever been saved, those that have gone on before us, we're going to be with them, and all the saints of God, and every one of us are going to share the very same story. We've been redeemed. Everybody's going to be singing out of the same hymn book. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, who has redeemed us to God by His blood. Out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and He hath made us kings and priests, and we shall reign with Him upon the earth. That's the song. And I'm going to be right there in that heavenly host with everybody who's ever been saved, who's been washed in the blood of the Lamb, dressed in spotless white, singing and praising and glorifying God. And every one of us will say it's all because of Him. Worthy is the Lamb. How do you apply a message like this? You do understand when you hear a message or you read the Scriptures, there should be application made in your life. You should say, all right, he's talked about the marvel of forgiving grace. How could He save such a wretch like me? The manner of forgiving grace. It's all of God. The magnificence of God's grace is way beyond me. It brings me to God. And all the way to glory. How? What are you going to take from this? How are you going to apply it? I hope that you'll have a renewed sense of devotion to God when you consider the truth of what's been preached today. Jesus said in Luke 7:47, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." If He's forgiven you a lot, you ought to love Him a lot. I'll tell you something else. You read on in the book of Ephesians, when you've experienced forgiveness from God Himself, you ought to be able to forgive others. It's commanded. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And let me clue you in on something if you're getting a little self-righteous. I don't care who, what offense somebody brings to you, it doesn't compare with your offenses against the holy God that He's forgiven you of. Doesn't even compare. So get the chip off your shoulder, off your self-righteous shoulder, and be ready to forgive. And then to sinners, I've preached the truth to you today. That the treasury of God's grace is opened up to those who repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know God's behind all of that. But if you die in your sins, you're going to die unforgiven, unpardoned, with the weight and the guilt of all your sins upon your back for all eternity, and you have no one to blame but yourself. Turn to Christ. Trust Him. Because there are riches of forgiving grace. And I'm going to enjoy them throughout all eternity. Let's all stand. 203.